So the Raggedy Runners was what I had to run in, and I stuck at it. Through ladders on Wednesday and Thursday's long run, I, of course, was now a step behind Lou, who was blazing around the track like it was nothing, doing everything he could to secure his spot as the lead sprinter. I mean, we both were sprinters, and Aaron and Mike. But Mike was going to run the 800 and the 400, just because me and Lou were both faster than him in the shorter sprint races. And Chris Myers, who ran the 800, his father took him off the team because his grades were slipping. Aaron was going to run the 400. He was the master of it. Like, seriously, could burn anybody. And between me and Lou, one of us was going to run the 200 meter, and one of us was going to run the 100 meter. Now, here's the thing. The 200 was a good race, a hard sprint. But it wasn't as, I don't know, glamorous. No, that's not the word. The 200 just wasn't the main event. The main event was the 100-meter dash. It was what Usain Bolt set the record in. It was the race. Before I got caught and coach forced me to run in my old sneakers, I had a pretty good chance at snatching that spot from Lou. Don't get me wrong, he was crazy fast and had been running that race pretty much ever since he started running. But over the month of practice, my time was maybe a half second faster than his. But not during the week of slumpy cutoff shoe running, which was definitely the week that counted. But hey, it was only the first race of the season, so I figured I'd take the 200. Honestly, I'd run any of the races coach would let me and work my butt off and my legs and feet to earn the chance to run that race. Friday, coach made me do exactly what he said I would have to, clean out his cab. He came over to my house after school and drove around to the back of the building where the dumpsters were. "Ghost, I'm not going to lie to you," coach said, popping the trunk. "I don't know what might be in here." I wasn't sure either. I mean, the back seat was pretty much clear just because that was the part of the car that he rode customers around in every day until I got in the car after practice. Then he put all the stuff in the front seat in the back. So the trash went from back to front, then front to back. Fast food bags, gym bags, paper, shoes, and who knows what else. And then there was the trunk. When he popped it and I looked in there and saw the end of the world, the back seat and front seat seemed spotless. The trunk was ridiculous. "Coach, this is crazy," I said, staring into what looked like the black abyss. "I know," he said, flashing an embarrassed smirk. "I sure am glad you did a stupid thing and have to clean all this up." And I did. I trashed all the fast food bags, some with French fries and half-eaten burgers still in them. I pulled out the duffels. I don't know why Coach needed so many gym bags. Who needs more than one? But there was nothing in them. They were all pretty much empty because all the shoes and stinky shorts and towels took up about half the space of the entire trunk. Dirty socks and headbands and old jerseys from past years with the defenders. He also had starting blocks, which are big and metal and heavy, shoved in there. And whistles. Whistles everywhere. I opened up the gym bags and loaded them up with all that crud. When I got to the last one, a yellow and green duffel with the name Otis on it, I unzipped it. "Who's Otis?" I asked Coach, who was sitting on the hood of the car, flipping through the lists of all our run times. "Otis is me," he said, not even looking up.